Hello, everyone out there on Radio Statler. This is Side Pocket once again doing some crazy interviews running around the Hope Number 9 conference. It's been one heck of a Saturday, and I'm very honored to be ending with something that, you know, I came for the Yes Men talk, and then you guys came in because I've been friends with Andy for 5 years now, and it ironically, as topical as I am, I actually never heard the incident, so it blew my mind, but that's more for you guys. Could you please introduce yourself for everyone else on the radio?
Cool. My name is Timothy Poole. I go by TimCast on Twitter, and I'm a live stream journalist and just general hacker, I suppose.
Pretty cool. And it's not, you know, that's a title enough alone, but the mind-blowing thing was what happened between you and your partner in crime here, quote-unquote, to speak. And it's a really giant mess, but just for, like, if you can give, like, the most absolute nutshell of what happened between you two for air so that the people that don't know.
My cohort and I, as well as a few of our friends, had our apartment where we were staying in Chicago during the NATO protests, surrounded by police, as we're told. The door was open. Alarm was going off. On the way to return, we had our vehicle surrounded by the police. They pulled us out at gunpoint, detained us, interrogated us. It was a nightmare. And then we, after talking to a few lawyers, the later events led us to believe that they were attempting to plant drugs in our car and intimidate us. And I was advised that they probably would have went for prosecution, so we were advised to leave Chicago.
That's one heck of an event to go through. How was this, like, was this a day? Was this a week? Like, how long did this go on for?
It was one really long day, and then it was from the afternoon when we got the first word that the apartment had been surrounded. Well, we weren't there, and then it wasn't until, you know, 1 a.m. that I finally got to put my head down after all of the, you know, no, it wasn't even 1. It was probably 3 or 4 a.m. where we finally got to a safe place.
As someone, as myself, who, like, I do not trust in both governments and corporations, like, hearing your story is, like, a worst nightmare for me to come true. But what I actually found more horrifying wasn't the fact that, you know, you tried to do some real raw reporting and got hammered by the authorities for that. In this day and age, sadly enough, I think we all expect that now. What really shocked me was when the actual big news medias end up reporting on it, that they just outright fabricated things that did not happen and omitted things that did happen. That's the part that, like, really shocks me of how just... And just before I ask, it's your opinion, reminds me of I don't know if you ever read a book, it's called Laughing Ourselves to Death. It's a critique about television back in the 60s. And he was talking about that he believes that you can never have true reporting on TV because the whole purpose of the TV is to entertain first. So even if you're doing news, it's always for entertainment, and there's always some sort of an agenda. And that was just proof of concept right there, what happened with you guys.
I would say the first goal of television is to sell advertising, and that's why we end up with these stories. So, you know, as for NBC covering it, they did a pretty good job considering. What they said at the end was that I had said the police action was reasonable, but I think I wasn't accusing them of fabricating anything. I think it was just they didn't get the context. They asked me, were the police acting unreasonably? And I said, you know, they didn't rough us up or anything. They pull us out, and we are interrogated and detained. And so they might have taken that as to assume. But detaining journalists at gunpoint is never reasonable, you know?
This is just preposterous. And, you know, it's not just, you know, journalists. And now we're starting to see it extending to just normal civilians when the shit really hits the fan. It's been pretty crazy. Just more of what you guys, both of you guys, have been doing with your live streaming. Sort of like, besides this incident happens, like what sort of projects have you guys been involved in, like reporting and stuff like that?
Well, Jeff Shively, he's a telecomics agent, so he works in the back end making sure the flow of information continues. He's worked on a lot of projects with telecomics, and they do great work. And then as for me, I do the on-the-ground live streaming of these, you know, big events. Most of my coverage is known for these big protest events like the Manifankur in Montreal, or Trayvon Martin's Million Hoodie March, and then especially Occupy was, like, some of my biggest coverage. But, you know, I also covered some events here at Hope. I've gone down to I do a lot of political stuff, but I've gone to Noise Bridge, and we gave a live tour and stuff like that.
Altman is amazing.
What was that?
Rich Altman is amazing.
Oh, Noise Bridge was awesome, and we got a tour, we got a guide, and we got shirts. So Jeff's wearing his shirts right now, and yeah, it's great. I'm going back to LA, and I look forward to going back to Crash Space.
Very, very awesome. Cool. So I guess the last two questions, because it's more like I'm wasting my time than your time, I think, at this point. One is that for anyone out there, I was going to go into the whole thing about that. I really like, you know, Raw News, and that was one, but that'll be a question for sometime later. But for someone who wants to really, is like, I want to truly report, not just be part of a mouthpiece or a PR. I really want to report. What are some of the tools that you guys have been using out there that you could suggest to other people who want to start doing what you guys want to do?
Actually, this is the best part about being at Hope, is I would say to everybody, is to build your own tools, invent something, innovate something. I use Ustream. You know, it's a company, and there's Twitter, Facebook, social media platforms. Not so much Facebook, but I think everyone here can discover a new method to help everybody, and especially me, with what we don't, you know, what we don't see or have.
Those are perfect words that really, you know, describes Hope in our community. And lastly, which is a generic question I've been asking everyone, this is probably done, is this your first Hope? And rather, if it's not your first Hope, or it is, what did you think of Hope 9 this year, good or bad? Just give me the raw info.
This is my first Hope, and I'm really amazed that actually it's Hackers on Planet Earth, but it's so diverse. There's the Yes Men, famous activists speaking, you know, journalists, drone programs. It's incredible.
Well, you know, it's amazing how, which is true, there is very diverse. There's people who bend circuits. There's people who code. There's people that do pen testing. There's people that make paper craft. And the core thing here is what we always say as Hope is we're all hackers.
Yeah.
We're all hackers in some sort of way. It's a human thing, and we're really glad to put that in. It was a great honor for you two guys to show up, talk about Hope. I hope that you continue delivering the real hard-hitting stuff out there.
Cool, thanks. I appreciate it.
And this has been our last report of Saturday. This is Side Pocket. I hope stay tuned to Radio Statler for more awesome music and shows.